Hey guys, Abel here, back with another video. First of all, if you hear some kind of static noise, I'm sorry. It seemed like it's not gonna be an issue while I was testing the microphone. It's a fan that is spinning around over my head. I just cannot do this video without it because it's super duper warm, which I'm happy about because so far it was raining all the time. Now it's finally sunny. And so yeah, just a bit of a disclaimer. In today's video, I would like to talk about four or five or I don't even know how many things that I wish I knew when I started lifting. I am so embarrassed, seriously. I do think that the video is going to be good, but this has to be one of the lamest video title types in existence, seriously. I always cringe when I see this. That doesn't mean that there are no videos with that title that I do like, and I do think that this type of video has a lot of potential, actually, but most of the videos that I see or just such bullcrap, honestly. And so I actually thought for a very long time as to how I should structure this video or what the main message of this video should be. Because the thing is that I think in order for a video like this to be actually useful and informative, it has to address things which are fundamental aspects that you would change in the way you approached fitness or whatever the topic is. And that would have resulted in drastically different outcomes. You know, if looking back, you were doing something with the best of intentions, and in reality, you were just gradually and progressively walking into some kind of a disaster, then yeah, that's a fair thing to talk about. Like, I wish I knew that X, Y. Or maybe even that isn't super informative, because, you know, I for example, also kind of cringe when someone is being asked this question, like, you know, what are some things that you wish you knew when you started lifting? And it's like, well, I wish I knew to use full range of motion. It's like, but it's amazing, you know, like, I'm so surprised. You wish you knew to do things better when you started? That's phenomenal. You know, guess what? There are a bunch of things that I wish I knew now. I'm doing a bunch of things in the gym. I'm sure there are ways to do them even better. Yes, I wish I knew them right now. Hoo-hoo! Super informative. So I don't even have to wait for that video to come out. I'll just make a video now. Five things I wish I knew now. Guys, guess what? I really wish I knew how to train perfectly. I also wish I knew how to diet even better. So you get the point. I think for these videos to be actually informative, it should have a little bit more thought invested into it than I see most people do it. So that's what I did for this video. This one is about the general approach to the whole fitness lifestyle, because actually that's my other issue with these videos is that, you know, it's one thing to say, I wish I knew to do X, Y, but that doesn't mean that I actually would have done it if I knew it, you know? I could say, I wish I knew that studying really, really well in school and not wasting so much time on video games and whatever is something that I will be very grateful for my past self when I will be older. But does that mean that I actually would have studied harder? Probably not. And the reality is that it's not like I didn't know that I'm going to regret not studying a lot harder and working harder, even in high school and middle school. I guess I even knew it then, but I still didn't do it. The same thing applies to fitness. Do I regret skipping out on a bunch of social events? Do I regret doing things way too obsessively with dieting and training at times? Yes, I do regret those things, but it's not like I didn't have some inkling in me that already kind of suspected that I'm overdoing certain things. Of course, I kind of suspected it, but these were not just decisions that I made because I didn't know any better. These were by and large emotional decisions. And that's another thing that I think we shouldn't overlook is that a lot of the things that you did in your life were maybe there for a reason. Maybe you did them because you needed some kind of a coping mechanism. So for me to sit here and say like, well, I wish I knew that I shouldn't be so obsessed with my diet and I should have socialized more. Well, I wouldn't have if I could go back in time now and it's like, okay, dude, try it again. Probably I would do the same thing. So, you know, I really tried hard to pick things which, okay, if I could go back in time and tell this to my past self, there is at least a decent chance that I would have been able to internalize it. And even if I wouldn't have changed my ways then and there, maybe I would have changed my ways sooner. Because I did change my ways about all of these things, but, you know, in some cases it took me like 10 years. Maybe I could have changed my ways about all of these things after 3. Who knows? So the first thing on my list, once again, expect more so philosophical kind of overall mindset related things, not so much these super concrete stuff like full range of motion or whatever. So the first thing that I wrote down for myself is information that you hear from another person is basically no information at all, or at best it's half information. I could also say that information that you hear from another person, you should always take with a huge grain of salt, at least to the extent that you're not going around then and spreading that information yourself. Because quite frankly, and trust me when I say this, there is a very decent chance that you're gonna make yourself look very, very silly down the line when it turns out that those things were completely wrong. I mean, this has happened to me an embarrassing number of times. I talked about this in a podcast episode that I did with Dave McConey. But yes, the amount of times I spread the wisdom about low-carb diets, how that's the ultimate way of losing fat and getting healthy and even getting rid of diseases and whatever, I was so confident and so arrogant. I'm just embarrassed looking back. And so yes, there are gonna be people over the course of your life and over the course of your fitness journey and any kind of journey, anything that you learn about, any kind of hobby that you get into, any sort of activity that you get really immersed in, you will be meeting people that are gonna be very convincing, very charismatic. They will be good talkers. Actually, I will stop here with this because the next point is related to this. But whatever they are saying, it's interesting, but until you verify that information for yourself, it's basically no information. It's just an interesting tidbit. But I mean, just think about the people in your life, personal friends, family friends, whatever. I mean, how many big talkers do you know that while having a beer are going to be spewing so much nonsense with such unbelievable confidence? It's something that people just like doing. So confidence is not evidence of being right whatsoever. This point is actually like borderline, it's a bit sketchy in terms of like, okay, I could have told that to my past self, but would I have listened? I'm not sure, because I'm almost certain that a bunch of people told me that, well, like, okay, where have you heard this? But are you sure that that person is reliable and trustworthy? Okay, they are referencing studies, but did you check those studies? And I remember I had a friend when I was in New Zealand. He was a neuroscience PhD candidate, and he was berating me all the time about some of the claims I was making. And he was insisting on this point of, I should be reading journals myself, or if I'm going to be referencing this kind of scientific stuff, then I should read the studies myself. Like, he was mentioning this a lot. And eventually I just concluded that, okay, like, this guy is annoying. He keeps coming with the study shit. And so I just stopped talking to him about these topics, but he was 100% right. And it's not that all of us should go around reading studies necessarily, but you cannot have it both ways. Like, either you're going to be referencing science and reading studies, or don't reference anything. Like, just say, he said X, Y, she said X, Y, and then people will know, hopefully, that they should be viewing or hearing that information as such, which is, it's at best like half information, more like quarter information, and in many cases, no information at all. Okay, the next point is actually very closely related. It's, again, regarding the people that you follow, the information that you consume, is being charismatic, being a very smooth talker, having a good voice, all of those things, saying all the right things, making the right kind of self-deprecating humor and all of that. None of that is evidence whatsoever that the person is not full of shit, or the person is not completely misinformed, or that the person is not a charlatan, okay? A lot of the people that I believe to be completely incorrect that I used to follow, a lot of them are way more charismatic than 80% or 90% of the people that you follow in the evidence-based sphere. You know, take someone like James Krieger, who is an unbelievably intelligent, super, super smart guy. I mean, you hear him talk about something and you put one of these like low-carb gurus next to him, like, holy shit. Like, one of them you will be inclined to elect as the president of the United States. The other one you might not understand why he's even being interviewed. Like, he comes across so poorly sometimes as far as speech and expressing himself on podcasts, at least. He's actually a very good public speaker. I don't even understand why he's struggling so much on a podcasting platform. Anyways, maybe he's freaking out from the webcam. It reminds him of the fact that he freaked out previously that someone was watching him while he was watching porn or something. So he has a hard time concentrating on the podcast. Anyway, I'm not being funny. So yes, a lot of these people are unbelievably charismatic, very, very good speakers. I heard this, for example, when Ellen Aragon had the big debate with Gary Taubes. is, you know, the people who were afterwards ridiculing Gary Taubes for the things that he was saying and some of the ridiculous claims he made and whatever, but all of them said that he's a very, very good speaker, that it was actually like good listening to him in your disagreement because he is just so good at presenting. So this will have a big influence on a lot of people, and it definitely had a huge influence on me when I was much younger. Not that this doesn't have any influence on me now. Like, sure, I would still rather listen to a good presenter than a bad one. And it probably is going to nudge me in one direction or another when I'm in a dilemma whether I should open my mind up to the person or not, which probably is still not ideal because you should evaluate the information, not how the information is being presented. But when I was younger, it just basically made me swing from one direction to the other. And I was willing to listen to anyone who sounded convincing. And I mean, really, I probably followed some of the biggest charlatans that ever made it big in the world of health and fitness. A lot of this just came from this, that I mistook charisma and confidence with correctness of the information that the person is touting. Okay, next one. This is something that is very close to my heart, actually, and I think this could benefit a lot of you, is you can get away with a lot more than you think. This one is very important because I actually spent a lot of my younger years, you know, like in between the age of, let's say, 19 and around 25, I have wasted so many opportunities. I missed out on so much fun. I missed out on so many social events. I just chose being lonely over being with people and actually doing things that I really would have enjoyed because I was afraid that if I go there, then I'm going to be whatever, away from my meals, away from the gym, I'm going to be losing muscle, I'm going to be gaining fat, or in some cases I will be messing up my sleep, that is going to age me, that is going to make me sick, and of course lose muscle and gain fat, like all of these things. Really, all of that stemmed from this general mindset and general philosophy that I am fragile. All the results that I'm obtaining are fragile. I can easily lose them. If I'm not perfect, then I'm going to lose them. If I'm not perfect for even a day, it's going to have like a really meaningful consequence. And really, life just proved it to me again and again when, thank God, I was finally in a situation where I couldn't say no to these things because I just had no choice. I had to be there, so I had to have some fun even if I didn't want to. It really just got reinforced again and again that really things have a lot lower consequence than you think. Just in the same way as it's really hard and takes a long time to build muscle and you need quite a bit of patience to lose a significant amount of fat, really you need to do something quite drastic to lose some meaningful amount of muscle. Really, you need to be quite reckless with your diet to gain a meaningful amount of fat. And you also need to keep it up for more than just a day in most cases. And really, all of these things, all of those little decisions that I made where I chose living like a hermit, staying by myself, not sacrificing even a day of training over having fun, were just very redundant and just regrettable decisions. Not only that, but I just psyched myself out so many times when there was a trip coming up, we were traveling somewhere, or I knew that there's gonna be some social eating event, or I was trying to optimize my sleep and I was worried about the fact that, like, what if I'm not getting optimal sleep? I legit pulled all-nighters, not on purpose, but I couldn't fall asleep because I was so stressed out. Because it was just hammered again and again that, like, you need to sleep, you need to sleep. If you don't sleep, you're gonna die. And I was completely psyching myself out. It doesn't work. Like, with some things, maybe it's good if you're psyching yourself out. Like, maybe it's good if you're psyching yourself out about the fact that if you're not studying for your exam, you're gonna fail, okay? Maybe it's good if you're freaking out because then you're gonna study. And that is something you can actively do. But falling asleep, that's not really something you're doing actively. It's quite the opposite. It's a very passive activity. You just need to let go of everything and you need to be as relaxed as possible. And I always had the best nights of sleep in my life when I did not give a shit about fitness or anything. I was just living life and did not care about anything. Then I slept quite fine. And it was actually very hard for me to go back to my roots, so to speak, and act before falling asleep as if I'm not giving a shit about anything because I was psyching myself out so much. And the reality is, and one of the things that helped me is, despite what the whole fitness industry for some reason has this fetish of yammering about, like how you're it's serious, like your head is going to explode off if you don't sleep well, even for one night. The reality is that you can get away with a lot of sleep deprivation, okay? Is it ideal if you sleep 5 hours or four and not eight? No, of course it's not ideal, but is it going to destroy you? No, it fucking won't. Trust me, okay? If it did, I would not be here by now, because I've had a lot of nights of very, very crappy sleep in my life. Would I be better off if I didn't? Of course, most probably I would be. Most certainly I would be. Was I still fine, and was I still productive, and did I still build a bunch of muscle and lost a bunch of fat and had good sex and made money and whatever? Yes. And the thing is that it took me to actually experience that until I could let go of this worry, for instance. And it was not just sleep. That's just one good example of this. But also, you know, freaking out about social events, freaking out about not going to the gym for a week. Yes, it's one thing to hear that all the time that, like, you won't be losing muscle. It takes a lot more to lose a significant amount of muscle. Even if you don't train for a month, you're not losing as much muscle as you would think. But until you actually experience that, it just kind of like empty words. It seems like something that, okay, everybody is saying it, but at the same time, everybody is trying to be pretty damn consistent. So I don't know, I'm going to be freaking out just in case. Then you experience it. And there were a couple of little mantras that I told myself over time that actually did help, because those mantras actually made sense. Those were not just empty words, but they resonated with me on a deeper level, I guess. So for example, one of these mantras is, okay, listen, dude, if I told this to myself, if all this invested effort, all those years of training, all that consistency, all that protein that you consumed, and all the strictness with your diet, if all of that throughout the years was not enough to grant you a week away from the gym without your results going to shit, then, man, this is a very stupid activity. Then you shouldn't be doing this whole thing, because you should be investing your efforts into something that has a more reasonable payoff, or, you know, rewards to invested effort ratio. And yeah, when I thought about it like that, but is it the case? Like, is it the case that all of those years of training and investing all that effort is not enough for a week of being away from the gym? No, of course it's not true. Of course it's nonsense. And that really calmed me down. And the same thing with diet. You know, like, look at all these people around you. They are not even training. They are going to, like, restaurants and fast food places and whatever all the time. They're eating like crap. Even they are not ballooning up from one day to the next. You're consistent and strict and everything with your diet. Usually, if you do what they are doing for one day or 2 days or whatever, even for a whole vacation, is that going to destroy your results? No. What destroys your results is being an asshole about things and going way crazier than all of these gym pop people around you. That is an issue. So, you know, when I started questioning my own beliefs and having these little conversations with myself, not in a scary schizophrenic way, although I do like talking to myself out loud sometimes when I'm alone in the house or I'm in the car or whatever, alone. It would be pretty funny, like, there are people around me in the car and I just, like, start having a combo like this with myself. These things actually really helped, and it helped me actually internalize these things and not just hear them as empty words. So yeah, nevertheless, always keep in mind that you're a lot more resilient than what you think. You don't need to be, not only do you not need to be perfect, but you absolutely will have chances to be a lot less than even recommended by non-hardcore people, and you will still be fine. Just don't do it all the freaking time. What matters, generally speaking, is what you do most of the time. And all these things are just that. Those are deviations. But what are you deviating from? Well, those are times when you're doing pretty damn well. And that's what ultimately matters. Okay, next one. I'm going to get through this very quickly because it's a very closely related point. If you are living like a hermit now and you're saying to yourself that, okay, I'm dieting, so I'm not gonna participate in these social events, or I'm not going for vacation with my significant other or my family or with my friends because I don't wanna be away from the gym. And you're telling yourself that, well, but I'm in this whatever training block at the moment, so I don't wanna ruin this now. Anytime you're telling yourself stories like that, just know that there will always be a reason, or I guess an excuse, to live like a hermit and to miss out on these general fun stuff in life in order to stick to your fitness plan more. I guess it's true of anything, really. Like, if you're making an excuse for something now, okay, maybe now it seems like a valid excuse, but won't there be a very similar excuse the next time around and the time after that? It's worth asking that question at least, because for a long time, I really believed myself when I was making these excuses that, okay, like this is a special time, I'm dieting for this, or I'm training with this kind of training setup and I don't want to ruin that. And then I had to realize that, okay, when I was cutting, that was a good reason to not venture away from my food environment. When I was gaining, finally, that was also a good excuse because I'm lean gaining. I mean, if I'm having this big cheat meal now or something, accidentally overeat even, like that is going to make a significant impact on my weekly calorie average and my weekly weight gain amount. I mean, that is messing up my lean bulk. So when would there not be an excuse to not go out and eat out with others and do all these normal people things? Never. Like, there will always be a reason to not do any of that. And so when I realized that, I'm not saying that that was enough to already start changing my ways, but I think these little doubts that are popping up in your head are very, very slowly starting to kind of chip away and start doing the work already and just very, very slightly nudge you in the other direction. Eventually, you reach a state of cognitive dissonance, perhaps, and eventually, maybe something tips you over and you actually make a change. So it's not like, okay, I'm doing something this way because I have this strong conviction, I have an epiphany and immediately start doing things differently. No, like us humans are a lot more stubborn than that, and our egos are way bigger than that usually. But yeah, I think now when I'm thinking of the things that I'm doing differently, like now I'm so infinitely more social than I was when I was 21. It's unbelievable to even think about it. And you know, what was the thing that eventually tipped me off? Maybe that was an actual life event. But by the time it actually happened, I already had a bunch of doubts and kind of cognitive dissonance built up in my head. And that started with these little moments of just questioning myself and really considering whether if I'm having this excuse now or giving this excuse now, that excuse or some version of that excuse will be there 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 5 years from now. There is always going to be a reason to choose the more comfortable or less scary option for yourself. Okay, two more points. They are related to training, but I guess they apply to a bunch of other things as well. But for training, it's certainly true, is that nobody has the perfect answer. And this is actually something that I didn't know. Up until, you know, relatively recently, like a couple of years ago, there was a time when I really thought that there is a more or less perfect way to do things, and that this small set of people has that answer. At this point, honestly, I'm really hoping for no real revolutionary answers from anyone. It's actually very relieving to tune into a podcast episode or something with that mindset, just knowing that, because it removes a lot of this burden and a lot of this pressure. I can just actually enjoy a podcast episode and not have to wait for, okay, it's all great, all this bullshit small talk in the beginning. My God, you've been talking for 10 minutes already. The whole podcast episode is 60 minutes. You only have 50 minutes left. Like, do you have enough time to cover the secret for me? And, you know, spoiler alert, the secret never got covered. The real truth had to be uncovered by myself, for myself, is that really nobody has the truth. Anytime you're hearing something like, everybody is doing everything wrong, I will give you the real deal. That is just not true, because they cannot give me the real deal. What they can actually give me is their best guess. No matter whether the person has 50 years of experience and have coached 50,000 clients, even that person can only give you their best guess. If there is a person who is putting something online, like a training plan, there's a very good chance that it's not going to be what they would truly prefer to do, for example, for themselves in order to get the really best results. Because if you're putting something out there for thousands of people, you gotta be a little bit more conservative. So in reality, maybe your actual preference would be to train 7 days a week and to do, I don't know, 25 sets for chest. Maybe that's what you actually believe to be the best approach. But for these people, you're going to be putting out, I don't know, 15 sets. Because like, I would rather set them back a little bit compared to the progress that they could be making than get like, I don't know, 1 out of 10 people even injured. And then they are going to blame me. And who knows, maybe I'm going to get into some lawsuit. So even if you follow some person and you put some person on a pedestal, even if you were correct that he's the smartest person ever, you're not going to have true access to everything that's in that person's head. And, you know, really there were times when I was fantasizing about that. Like, how amazing would it be if I could just download all the information from this person's head? Then everything would change. And it's like, no, it wouldn't be. Because, you know, many years have passed. I learned so much. Like, I'm in terms of my knowledge, I'm a different person entirely from who I was, you know, 10 years ago, but even maybe 5 years ago. And, you know, there are still lots and lots of doubts, a bunch of things that I just cannot know. Some things I more or less accepted that I'm never going to know them, because I don't think anybody will ever know those things for sure. In our lifetime, I think certain discoveries just won't be made yet, because it's just logistically, I just don't see how it could be done. Also, there is a reason why there are so many conflicting voices in the fitness industry and a lot of industries, because a lot of things are just not 100% established. A lot of it is down to personal opinion, interpretation. So there is room for all those conflicting voices. And all of them can be actually very, very smart people. People who even read science, people who have a lot of experience. The debate that I listened to when I was in Amsterdam between Menno Hanselmans and Mike Israetel, it was a really, really awesome debate, because it was clear that, okay, both guys are taking into account the same stuff more or less when making their arguments or when forming their own hypotheses. And the reason they disagree is not because, like, okay, Mike knows something that Menno doesn't or vice versa. In large part, it was actually just down to their own personal philosophy of doing things in life, I guess. So if a guy like Menno comes across this information, then his preferred way of things, and this is just the way he's looking at things, is to do this with this information. Whereas for Mike, it's something else. It's not a matter of being familiar with the literature, it's just a matter of what you believe in. How should certain types of information be used? And then there is room for both of that. And nobody can say that one is wrong and one is right. If I understood that at the time, it would have meant that I would have been a lot less prone to be putting people on the pedestal as much. And it also would have meant that I would have stressed myself out a lot less, because I wouldn't have been looking for the answer all the time. I could have just, once again, I could have just enjoyed podcast episodes and YouTube videos and whatever for what they were. Sometimes it was just entertainment, and I wouldn't have put this pressure on myself that, okay, like I need to find the answers, Okay, this person is the real deal. Okay, how can I have access to this person's brain? It was just this constant, frantic search for optimality and for the secrets. I don't miss those times. And yeah, I really could have done with this information. It would have made things so much better. Or would it have made things better? Because actually, this is my last point. And this is, I'm not sure what I would have done with this information. It's similar to the point where I said that there will always be an excuse to live like a hermit. I think it would have changed some things, at least in my approach. Or once again, at the very least, it would have nudged me in a certain direction. And maybe I just would have changed my ways in 3 years and not in 10 years. But basically, when I was younger and when I was looking for the secrets all the time and I was looking for the guru person all the time, I thought that when I will have been in this whole fitness game for a good 10 years, when I will have become an advanced lifter and, you know, will have built up my physique to a good extent, will have a lot more experience than I had at the time, then all this constant desire for fiddling with things and optimizing things further, and this the grass is greener over there mentality, where okay, like I'm following this training program, it seems pretty good, but what if I followed that one, because that guy has this amazing physique, and what if I did what he's doing? I thought that all of this would stop, and this would be just something that I will look back at and I will just laugh at it. And the thing is that no, it's still the case. You know, when it comes to me, I'm still that infantile, just childish person. And the thing is that if you talk to, I would say, most coaches and experts in the field, they will tell you the same thing. And this is something that it gives me comfort that I've heard this from so many other people as well, because it's kind of embarrassing, but it's the coach's paradox, it's the expert's paradox, it's the experienced adult paradox, really. You will be wise enough to know at least that what you're doing is silly, but you still cannot help it. To be honest, like I always joke that like never put me down in front of a computer with a spreadsheet or with an, you know, Microsoft Excel or Google Sheets on it, because in 5 minutes I will have designed some really complex automated spreadsheet. And if I'm too tired for that, my brain is not functioning well enough for that, then I will just be making random training programs. I love doing it, honestly, like it's fun. I constantly fiddle with shit like that. If I'm on a long car ride and I'm bored, I'm gonna be making training programs on a spreadsheet. The number of training splits that I designed for myself this year and then not followed, is probably over 200. And I'm not even exaggerating. So, you know, it will never stop probably. And at this point, I don't even want it to stop because it's fun. But it would have served me to know this, that okay, like it's not just a matter of not knowing. It's just who you are. When it comes to your own personal training, you will always want to fiddle way too much with it. And it's good that if you know this about yourself, because it also means that, okay, like if you're not just trying to have fun, like right now, at this point, I mainly just want to have fun. Girls, Abel just want to have fun. Ooh, that was really bad. Out of tune, horrible. In 2021, in the summer, I was just really in it for the fun. I was just going to the gym, doing random stuff, and it was awesome. I loved it. This year, for example, I really wanted to progress and I wanted to bring up my arms and my back. So I needed to temper this and I needed to consciously work on, okay, I can design all these splits and everything. I can design 300 splits for myself over the course of the year, but I need to stick to something and I need to follow a structure. Otherwise, I'm just going to be wheel spinning. And now I view this as any other temptation in life, like the same way as I would prefer a chocolate cake and not strawberries with some zero calorie sweetener, the same way as I would prefer, I don't know, a cocaine party and not a protein shake party, different powders, both of them are white, but you know, it's just something that, okay, of course you prefer that because you love it. But it doesn't mean that you should do it. So, by the way, I'm not attending cocaine parties, just to be clear. But the point is, you know, if I knew that at the time that like, okay, guy, you're whatever, a teenager now, you're fiddling way too much right now and you're justifying it in various ways. But just so you know, like many, many, many years from now, you will still be doing the same thing because you're just freaking obsessed. So if someone had told me that at the time, maybe I would have changed my ways and I would have been more proactive about more things. So yeah, I guess that would have been cool. And so that was my last point. Lighthearted video once again. I say that a lot these days. I gotta find a new line. But I do like to reflect about things. And, you know, if I could, I would go back in time, definitely. I would start over a lot of things in my life. But at the same time, as I'm saying that, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure how many of those things would there be a point in starting over. Like many times, actually, the conclusion I end up with is that there would only be a point in going back, let's say, to the time when I was 10 years old, 11 years old, because I started making some really bad decisions in my life as early as that, to be honest. But there would only be a point if like I could go back as an invisible like ghost thingy sitting on that 10-year-old guy's shoulder, giving him actual advice, because I can go back, but it doesn't mean that I would actually do anything differently, you know? So that's where I always kind of end up with. But nevertheless, I think these things are interesting to think about and talk about. And yeah, if you're interested in more videos like this, this was like a more general overview, a bit more philosophical, but I can do one on training, I can do one on dieting. I guess I will, why the hell not? So let me know what you thought of this. Please subscribe for, well, not more content like this so much, but some really good informative training and nutrition content. Like the video if you liked it. And if you're interested in working together with me in a coach-client format or doing a consultation with me, then you can fill out the intake form on my website. It's linked in the show description. I will get back to you. We will discuss what your goals are, blah, blah, blah. And we will see if this could be a good fit. And I think that's all I wanted to say. So I will sign up for now. See you guys in the next video.